All right, let's go ahead and get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the webinar for October 2015. It is hard to believe that this is the 10th webinar of the year already. And today we're going to be talking about PHP for WordPress. And I've got my screen. I'm just sharing just a local installation of WordPress. If you can go ahead and see that, just go ahead and let me know so that I can continue to... just make sure that we can see each other and everything looks okay. And let's go ahead and get started. So today we are going to be talking about PHP. And the main reason we're going to talk about PHP is because that's the overarching driving force behind WordPress. That is how WordPress works. Like the majority of it, that's how it works. Like it's pulling information from the database, and PHP is a perfect way to do that. Basically what PHP is there's a lot of commands that allows it to, there's commands that will go and fetch information for the database, and then it will be able to display that information back out onto your WordPress website. So that's really cool. And there's some really cool PHP functions that you can use to dynamically generate content. You can have it generate what day of the week it is or what year it is or all kinds of different things like that. And so we're going to go ahead and get started and just kind of talk through a few little things. At the beginning, I'm going to show you how not to edit PHP. And then we're going to start editing right here locally here on my desktop server version. So the things that we want to talk about, we're going to start about just a little bit about PHP. And PHP is just that dynamic language. And how it works is basically when you have to wrap your text inside of PHP, and I'll show you how to do that. And we're going to be working in PHP files. The cool thing is, like, you can take your regular HTML file. Say you build a website, a static website, but you want to add a little PHP to it. All you have to do is rename the file from like index.php or index.html to index.php. That's all you have to do, and you've now got a PHP file, which is pretty neat. Like, you don't necessarily have to do any PHP in it, but that's all you have to do to make a PHP file. It's super easy to add those PHP files as well. All you have to do is, you know, save them with that extension, and they're going to start behaving. Now, the tricky part is when you're making edits and changes within PHP on your local server, it's going to be very difficult to actually see what that looks like because of the way that PHP works. You know, it's driven off a database, and it just the way that the technology works is you can't really just open up a PHP file and see what it looks like in a web browser. It doesn't really work that way. So the way that we're going to do it today is we're going to use a local version, and we're using desktop server. And I've done webinars in the past about my setup with desktop server and things like that. But today I'm just going to show you and highlight some of these things that we can do. So right now we've got the 2015 theme. I've got it installed. We're actually going to be working in a child theme. That's the best practices for when making a website or making custom changes to a theme that could get updated in the future. So that's going to be the best practice for today. We're just going to continue to make a child theme. I've already got the child theme set up, and I've got the Hello World is in red just to make sure that the child theme was up and running. I didn't want to spend a lot of time today just talking about that. There's webinars that I've done in previous months that talk about how to create a child theme and how to build out a child theme and all those different types of things. So you want to go ahead and do that. So we've got that all set up and we're ready to go. But let's go into, if you go into your managed themes or your dashboard, this is just php.dev is what I'm calling this local installation. And we're in the theme section. And if we go all the way down to the editor box, this will actually allow us to edit any code that's running on our website. And you can see that we are running 2015 child, and we've got content.php, we've got functions.php, single.php. These are some files that I've created, and we're gonna do most of our editing in Sublime Text, but I just wanna show you something very first and foremost. So if we go into, we'll just look at content.php right now. So if we go in here, we're going to see some funkiness that we may not be used to. And we'll see it starts right here, right after the article ID equals post dash. And then it's got this PHP thing. Then it says the ID with parenthesis, then semicolon, and then another like closing bracket type thing. And so this is like a standard little command within PHP. And so this first part just basically means it's telling it's telling the browser or whatever that we are first opening PHP. Anything that comes after the less than sign question mark PHP is PHP code, okay? And then it's going to go out there and it's going to run this code. It's going to run this function. And then this is the closing tags for PHP. So if we look down the page, and I'll explain what this does in just a second, but as we look down this page, we can see, okay, there's one snippet of PHP right here. There's another snippet of PHP right here. This is all PHP. And sometimes it's broken down so you can add comments and stuff in here. So this is commented out so you know what this is doing. Then we've got some PHP here. Then we've got some PHP here. So there's a lot of PHP that's in this child theme. And this is the content. This is what actually is displaying all of this stuff on our WordPress site. All right. So let's just dive into this just a little bit. Let's look at this section right here. This is kind of an easier thing to look at. So basically we're saying we've got a little PHP and so it's opening the PHP bracket, then all of this stuff in here is in PHP. And this is basically just an if else statement. So if it's saying, if this happens, do this. If not, do this. So basically what this is saying is if it's a single post, then we want to make the header, or we're going to use the title. We're going to find the title and we're going to wrap that in the class entry title and give it an H1 tag. This is essentially what it's doing. So if we look at this page right here, so this is on the single page. So remember the PHP function is basically saying, is it single? And what single means within WordPress is it on its full page to itself? You can see it's at 2015:10:02, hello world. That is what this page is. It's using the template page, single.php. And so basically what it's saying is when it's on this page, we don't want this to be linkable. Like we don't want to be able to click on this when we're on the page ourselves. Like that would be kind of a dumb, silly loop that we would click on this and go to the same page and click on this and go to the same page. So that's not really necessary. So it's saying if it's on the single page already, just give it the title class in an H1 tag. But if it's not, if it's anywhere else throughout the site, then what we want to do is we actually want to give it an H2 tag and we want to wrap it in text and we want to use the permalink and display it as an H2 tag. So if we go back to our homepage, we're going to see that it is now an H1 tag and it is wrapped let's look at this again. It's an H2 tag, excuse me, and it is wrapped in that href, so it is a linkable thing. So now if you hover over it, it is linked. And so that's just like some of the cool things that you can do with PHP. I'm trying to think of some other really neat things that you could do within PHP. One of the things that I have on my website, so if you go to yourwebsiteengineer.com and let's just go and take a look at... we'll look at the latest podcast episode here. We'll do full show notes. And something that I did and I added in the PHP is I added a little bit of code to say, if this is a podcast category page, I want the podcast icon to show up right there. Like I want it to be right there. I want it to be a little podcast microphone. And so I said, if it's in this category, do this. Then if it's a webinar, you can go to the webinar page. And if I go to the webinar page, then I want it to display this icon. And if it's a blog post, I want it to do something else. And if it's a, you know, something else, then I can do something else. So that's some of the power that's behind PHP. You can write these if else statements or different types of loops, or you can do all kinds of things that allow you to display content exactly how you want it. Like you wouldn't have to create a template page for let's go back to this example. So one thing that I could have done is I could have created a webinar a template page for categories and then wrote all the code. And then I could have made one for podcasts and then I could have made one for blog and then I could have made one for video, or I could have just made one single page and then said, if it's in this category, do this. If it's in this category, do this. If it's in this category, do this. So that's the method that I went ahead and worked into my theme. So that's some cool things that you can do within PHP. So that's kind of where WordPress really gets its power, that it can go and you can pull information from its website. So the title, this is a command within WordPress. It is a function within WordPress. So it's going to go out there and it's going to look at and find the information for that specific post or page within your WordPress site. And it's not in this page, but let's go into the single post page. I'm going to show you this. I think it may make sense, but we'll see. So So on the main page, the single page, and that's again when you go to the actual page and it's to the permalink of the actual page, then it's going to load the file single.php. All right. So it's loading the single.php, and it basically is doing a little bit of code here at the beginning that say, go get the header information. Go out there and get everything that's in the header. And so that's pulling in all the style sheets, that's pulling in all the JavaScript, that's pulling in like the metadata, all that stuff that's pre-programmed into the header. It's gonna go get that stuff first. And then it goes in and it says we're adding some div classes with some IDs, we're calling a main section, and then we start what's called the loop. And in PHP, this is basically saying while we've got posts, we're going to do stuff with these posts. And it's just kind of the way that WordPress works. And so if we scroll down, and this is, again, in the 2015 child theme, and a lot of themes do things a little bit different, but this is kind of the standard method of doing it. So it's basically saying, go get the template part content. And so that's why we're in the content.php page. So that's why, so we've went through this loop, and then all of this content that runs is inside that loop. So that's how we're getting this specific data for this one point. If we're looking at that index page, where that's the main page of your site, it's going to go in, and the way that one's programmed is it goes and it pulls in the information. So it's going to pull out all the posts, and it's going to list all of the posts at one time. Now, I should have went in and added a few more posts to my demo site here just so we could see a difference, but I think you get the understanding and the understanding of how that particularly works. So what I want to show you is the very first thing that I want to just show you is what we can do is we can actually like edit this right here within WordPress if we wanted to, and we could just start adding new things if we wanted to, or changing things, or doing pretty much whatever we wanted to. And what I want to show you is how bad of an idea this is right away to do it inside of the WordPress dashboard. The main reason is because if you forget something or you mess up PHP, you are going to lock yourself out of your site. I mean, you won't be able to log into the back end, you won't be able to see the front end, like it's all going to be broken if you make any changes in here. And so, and I've done this, and I did it once with a client site. It was a very, very bad ordeal. Even though I knew exactly what I did, I practiced on a different site. I didn't have FTP access. I didn't have any access whatsoever. It was one of my earlier jobs, and I forgot a semicolon. And when I saved, it just messed the whole site up, and the client ended up having to go in, and they had to pay like their hosting company exuberant amount of money to actually roll back the site. It's like, I know exactly where the line is and what happened. Let's go ahead and do this. And of course, I was doing this to a main theme and not actually doing a child theme. I was doing everything wrong at that time. But that's what you do when you don't know and you haven't experienced a lot of WordPress, or you don't have a lot of WordPress experience. So just for this sake, and I'm just going to remove this semicolon right here, and then we won't be able to get in. And then, what are we going to do? So let's remove the semicolon, and it's basically like every function within WordPress has to end in a semicolon, and that's just another little thing about PHP and how it works. So if we go and update our file, we're going to, it actually updated, it updated okay. Let's see what happens when we actually go to this page. Is it going to do anything? Of course, my example failed me. I thought this was going to break everything because it doesn't have maybe it just fails that piece of the function. What happens if, of course, when I'm trying to break something live on a webinar, it doesn't actually break. How is this possible? Maybe within WordPress, there we go. So we've got an error here. Maybe the way that, I haven't tried this on the newest version of WordPress 4.3. Maybe they've made it so if PHP doesn't work, it doesn't completely break your site, because in the past it used to just totally mess up your site and you couldn't get back in. So maybe my statement that I was going to make is never edit inside the WordPress editor, because it allows you, like if you mess things up, it will break your site, but it looks like it's not breaking. So let's just go ahead and put the semicolon back and close PHP here, and we'll put everything back to the way that it was. But the main thing is I wanted to say that I was going to show that you get locked out here and then you have to use a code editor to get back in or whatnot. But we're going to make all of our changes over in Sublime Text, and we're going to just go ahead and do that here in a second. One other thing that I want to show you about PHP is there, and I will include this as part of the webinar replay that you'll get, is this worksheet that I found, which is really kind of cool. Like you can see a lot of things. I'm going to click here to zoom in just a little bit so we can see it just a little better. But basically it shows like, the basic template files, and these are the files where you can find the information. So if you wanted to look for where all the content for the homepage was stored, that's generally stored in the index.php file. If you wanted to look for where that single post file is, that's in single.php. So these are like the pretty standard template files that come with every WordPress theme. Now, the ones with the two stars, these are the ones that are required. So every theme must have a style.css and an index.php file. Some things that you can do, here's just like some extra really cool snippets that we can use, and you can actually pull some really cool information right from WordPress, and you can display them right on your site. We're going to do that here in just a second, but some of the things you can do is you can display if you wanted to, you could display the style sheet URL, you could display the WordPress version if you wanted to, you could display the name of the site, you could display all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. If you wanted to pull out this specific author, if you wanted to show just the excerpt, if you wanted to put previous and post links at the bottom of a page or calendar, you know, all of this kind of stuff. You can do all of these things. There's a ton of stuff that you can actually do within your WordPress site. So let's go on over to Sublime Text and just take a look at some of the things that we can do. And we're going to edit the single.php page that's right here that hopefully I fixed the parse error. Okay, we are good. So I'm going to just slide right over here. Let me make this text just a little bit bigger so we can make sure that we can all see it. And so I am inside the 2015 child theme. We're in the single page, and then we're going to go into the contents because that's where most of the stuff is. So this is where the header is, and then we want to make sure that we're just putting it inside here, the content area, just so we can kind of see where things are going, and we can make sure that, okay, it's going to make sense, and yeah, it's just going to show up. So one of the things that you can do pretty easily, and I have this in a text expander snippet, is I just call it, it's called BBI is going to expand, and it's going to display the template URL for this particular website. So if I go ahead and save this and then swipe back over and I do a refresh, we'll see at the very top, we'll see, okay, here is the link to the child theme or the theme that I'm using. That's the main theme that I'm using. And so is that doing anything for us? Not really. Like, you can't click on it and you can't, I mean, there's not a lot of really good information there, but this is one that I keep in my head. I keep this link in Text Expander because I know that I will use it sometimes, but also if I need, I need all of the information, but I just need to change this, then I can do that very easily. So if I would go back over here and I would say, maybe for example, let's just put name in there. So if we wanted to just put name, we could save that and we could go back and refresh on this tab, and it's going to display the name for our website. So it's right there, PHP for WordPress is the name, and it displays that right there. And so again, this isn't super useful for what we're doing right this second, but you can see how the power of WordPress is. You can add these functions and you can go and, you know, suck this information out that's in a settings panel somewhere within our WordPress dashboard. This is kind of a way to make it easy for you so you don't have to like always put this text copy in. And if you ever make a change, then it will change everywhere. So think of this for example, like maybe there's a point where you had your the name of your website is Your Website Engineer Podcast. You know, maybe that's just the name that I came up with. So I've hard coded that in there a dozen places throughout my site because I wanted that text there. Well, if I did that and then I wanted to change the name someday in the future, then I'd have to change it both in WordPress because in WordPress, in the settings dashboard, it is displayed places there, but then I'd have to go in and change all the places within your theme. So then you just want to pull out the information that you need. Maybe the other thing we want to do is maybe we want to display the author. Okay, who is the author for this post? Again, it's already here. Like you can see the author is admin, but maybe we want to just go ahead and do that. So if we wanted to, and a lot of the functions are just the_author is what this one is, if I can spell it, and then you put parentheses after it, and then you save it, and now instead of saying PHP for WordPress, it's going to say admin. Pretty simple. There's tons of different things that you can do with this. Like if you wanted to just display the excerpt, you could just say the excerpt. And this is going to be a very silly example because we've got the entire post down below, but we can show the excerpt, which would be here. And then here's the full post, which would be there. It's kind of silly in this example, but that's how that would work. If we wanted to, we could go in and we could actually give it a custom excerpt. If we just went to here and we could go to edit And we could go, let's see, excerpt is not there. We can just turn the excerpt field on in screen options, and then we could say, awesome excerpt. So again, not really sure why you'd ever want to do this, but you know, I'm just kind of showing you, demoing the different things that you can do within WordPress. And believe me, every time that I try to do something with a theme, like I learn new functions within WordPress. I'm like, really? You can do that with WordPress? Like, of course, we all know that you can do so much of our development. We can learn and we can do so many cool things with WordPress, but it's hard to believe sometimes, like, wow, that function is already built in. All I have to do is call it and it'll just display. Another one that we want to show, and we saw this a little bit of an example in the when we were looking at the child theme, but if we do the underscore ID, this will actually give us the ID of that particular post. So let's go ahead and do that. So the underscore ID, ID. And I think that my Sublime Text is auto-completing some of this stuff because I think I have an extension, a WordPress functions extension built in, I think. Maybe not. Browse packages. I don't really know how to use. I think I set it up at one time, but I don't know for certain. I may have that. Who knows? So now if we refresh, instead of awesome excerpt, we're going to see one. And you may be thinking, one, what's that all about? But if you go and you can actually see like post, and then you can see the ID equals one. And so that's what that is. So if you ever needed to do that, I know that in the in this section right here, it's calling post and then it's going to put the ID next to it. So if you wanted to highlight and do something specifically to a class, if you wanted to, you know, this class or the ID for this article is post-1. So if we wanted to do something specific for this post, we can call some CSS specifically for that. And so that's how that works in a sense. Now you may see that I've got some PHP here. We've got the PHP opening tags. We've got what I want, the content. Then we've got the closing tags. Now we've got opening tags. This is okay. You can put it just like this, or what you could do if you wanted to save a little bit of space and a few characters, what you could do is you could just do that. You can get rid of those extra open and closes of PHP. Now, if you ever need to, you always have to close PHP to put in any type of HTML tags to do something like that. Or if you wanted to, this is another kind of a little secret or a hack, but you could do, if you wanted to, is you could do, since we're still in PHP, we could do echo, and then we could put this in quotes like this, and then we could close PHP. It's going to do the exact same thing. So you either have to close PHP and then write your HTML, or you can echo out your HTML inside of quotes inside of PHP. So there's some different reasons why you'd want to do one way or the other. I typically like to do it this way, like close out PHP and then write my HTML and then open it. But something like this, where it is a little snippet, if we'd go back to where I had it just like this, then what we could actually do, we could actually like then consolidate this even more. And now we've got this whole big long section that's PHP without all these extra opening and closing tags. Like in theory, we can actually even remove this tag and this tag. Like we could do this if we wanted to. Like there's a lot that you could do to kind of clean up your code and make things look, you know, a little bit different. They're saying, I forgot my semicolon. Of course I did, probably somewhere we'll get to it. It'll give me an error and I'll figure out where the semicolon is mistaken. It's somewhere, but let's go ahead and see. If we go and we go back to our site and then we do a refresh, then we will see, and it is on line 49. So this was another good example that there is a, I did skip a semicolon. Of course, everybody noticed it while watching either live or the replay. You're like, you forgot it, because I wasn't paying attention. You know, I'm trying to talk and do things at the same time, but this is a good thing to do that we can actually go in when it gives us these parse errors. It actually gives us some really good information. Like we can go and it's basically telling us that it's on this file right here. So you can see that my computer, yes, it's named dmoney, but it's in Dropbox sites. And then my folder is in the content themes, 2015 child theme, and then content.php. and it's on line 49. Like, that's pretty awesome. Like, it makes it very simple to go, okay, and since all of our code has lines on it, we'll just go ahead and it's right here on, and it basically said on line 49, and you're like, 49, how is there a semicolon missing here? That doesn't make any sense. Then you go and you can see that it's expecting on line 49, it's expecting a semicolon. So usually that means it's the line before. And if we go up indeed on line 46, we are missing that semicolon. Kevin says that he will forgive me because I missed it. I was doing it to illustrate an example. Haha, not even, I'm just kidding. I had no idea that it was missing. But that's some of the cool things that you can do within WordPress. Like, it's really neat. Like, PHP is really cool. I guess one other thing that I want to show you, and this has really nothing to do, and I'm just going to put it here because I'm too lazy to actually create the footer if I needed to. But let's go ahead and right here where it's the ID, let's do another one that I have a text expander snippet, I think. And I think it's at CC. Yeah. And since we're in PHP already, we don't need to do this. So what we can do is, if we wanted to, let's go ahead and see what this does. Let's make sure it works. I did not test this whatsoever. Okay, perfect. Let's put a, can we echo? Let's just remove this. So that's out of the way, so we don't see it. So what we can see is, and this is awesome, that we can put copyright, and then the copyright date, 2015. Like, you can put that at the bottom of your website if you wanted to. We could put it down here if we wanted to. And it's just going out there and it's pulling the year that it is. And it's just putting that information in there. Like, how cool is that? Like, we don't actually have to do anything. Like, in 2016, in 2 months, 3 months, I guess, when the calendar flips to the next year, our website's automatically going to flip to the next year. I know that I used to do some, like, I used to be excited when the new year came around. I was like, yes, I get to go and update all my sites. And this was back in the day when there was, you know, tons and tons of pages that you had to update. It was just like, oh, this is a lot of work. And then I discovered PHP and this one little command and this little function that's built into PHP, and it just goes ahead and displays it. Let's take a look at this. Basically what it is it's using the function date. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, you can just Google like PHP date. I don't know if you actually need the parentheses after that or not, but we can go ahead and just look up some cool things. So, you know, if it's something that's pretty standard that you should be able to know, like, or should be able to pull, like, PHP should be smart enough to know, you could go ahead and do that. So if we put the capital letter D in there, let's go ahead and just change this to the capital letter D for Dustin, of course, and save that and go back to our site and do a refresh. Instead of copyright 2015, it's going to say copyright on Friday. How cool is that? So if you wanted to if you were doing some sort of, like, I don't know when you'd ever really use this, but if you wanted to, like, post instead of, like, down here saying October 2nd, maybe we could say Friday, October 2nd, 2015. So we could do something, you know, super, super simple like that. Even within, let's see, that's in here somewhere. Maybe not. Oh, it's in the author bio. That's all in the in a different template file, so we're not going to really do that. Oh, maybe it's right here. No, it's not in this template file. Otherwise, we could just tweak our code a little bit to say this was written on a Friday, or, you know, you could do silly little things like that. Again, a lot of this stuff is not necessarily stuff that you would do right away, but I'm just kind of showing you and highlighting some of the cool things that you could do within PHP. If you wanted to, you could say which week it is. So if we were wondering what week of the year is, we could go ahead, instead of the capital D, let's put a capital W and see what week it is of the year. I'm going to guess it's like, I'm not even going to guess, like 42. That's my guess. 40. So it's week 40 of the year. And that's, I mean, just something that we don't have to program and we don't have to remember. So, you know, in 2 days on Sunday, that would say 41 if we left that there. The big thing is with PHP is it's a lot of experimenting. It is a lot of, like, just tinkering with? Does it work? Does it not work? What can we do? Like, it's kind of interesting and neat that it's a whole nother language than you've probably used to. You know, HTML and CSS, it's like, okay, I plug in the information. I plug in, okay, I want the padding to be 10 pixels, or I want the margin to be, you know, 100 pixels. I want the color to be blue. You know, I want this to have an H1 tag. Like, you program all that stuff and it's going to do exactly what you tell it to do. Now that the power comes in with PHP, because you now have the ability to you can dynamically do this kind of stuff. And so that makes it really cool, and it makes it super, super powerful. If you wanted to, you could, another thing, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, some of the uses that you could use. Maybe you have an about page and you want the about page to display like your most recent 5 posts at the bottom of the page. You know, just something to get people interested. You know, maybe they've read all the copy, and then at the bottom, it's like, here are my most recent 5 articles. And you could essentially just write a bit of code in there, and you can basically say, just, it's a little mini loop that says, go out and get the titles from the last 5 posts. You put it in a list or an ordered list or an unordered list or whatever, and it just kind of works. Like, that's something that, you know, you never have to update, and it's always updated. Like, that's the coolest part about PHP, I think, is you never have to update your site, and it just works. Like, that's how WordPress works. And the fact that you add your newest blog post, and then it just shoves all the rest of them down, and it displays the top one on top. That's how on my website, that on the bottom of it, I've just programmed a little bit of logic in there that says, at the bottom of this thing, I say, go out there and get the latest podcast episode. And so that displays right here. And I say, go out and get all the information from the latest webinar. And that displays that right there. Again, like, I did that on purpose because I wanted to have 2 nice looking players right there on the bottom of my page. But that's essentially what you can do. Like, you can do so many things once you know a little bit about PHP and how that works. I guess I could go in and I can even show you what this looks like. Let me just open up that code for a couple minutes, and I'll just show you how the homepage looks on my website, and then we can open it up to any questions. So let's go and open recent. We're going to open YWE. And this is all super proprietary information for sure. Just kidding. So if we go in and look at the WP content, we will look at the themes. It's called YWE. And then it is called, I believe I just called it index. I think this is it. No, it's on page dash home. It's right here. So this is all stuff that's just at the top to make all that moving text and stuff move in, whatnot. But here's kind of where the bulk of things happen. And what I'm doing is I've got a little argument here that's basically going out to category number 29, which is the podcast category. That's the category number for that. And it's basically pulling in 1 post per page. And so it goes out there and does a little query with these parameters. Anything that's in category 29 and post per page is 1. So it's only pulling in and displaying 1 of the results that it finds. And then if we have post, if there's a post out there, then we're going to do the little loop here, and it's going to basically show the post thumbnail, which is the big image that you see there. This is the thumbnail image. And then what it's going to do is it's doing the short code. I have a short code built into my site for the podcast player. So it's going to display that. Then it's going to display the excerpt. And so that's how it displays the yellow player and then the excerpt. And that's all being driven, you know, it's just being pulled from that post itself. And then it's going to go out and get the date, the category, and how many responses, and then see full show notes. And then I've made this a link, and I've made this a link. And so that's kind of how that's the way that I've programmed my website. Now, you may see that, you know, after we close all this, we've got the latest podcast, we go down here and we close all that, it ends the loop, then we reset the query. So basically, like, we've went through the query once, and now it gets all the way to the bottom, and we've got to reset it so we can go through the loop again. And then what we do here is we're actually looking for post type webinars, because the way my webinars are set up, it's just a little bit different than using a category. I'm using a post type, and then I say the most recent one, and then it just goes through all the same information. And so that's how I've set up my homepage to pull in exactly the content that I'm looking for. So that's kind of what I wanted to share with you today. It's kind of an unscripted webinar, if you will. But I'm happy to answer any questions. I see a couple have come in. Feel free to ask them again. There's a 45-second delay between what you hear and what's actually, you know, before you can actually see what I'm saying. So I'm kind of in the future, if you will. So I'm going to go ahead and start diving into some questions. Eric says, it looks like there's many ways to slice it when it comes to PHP. So where do we go to find the standard way to use and make WordPress child themes and themes? And he said, when you get a chance, go ahead and answer that. And so that's a great question. And there's tons of different resources that are out there. There is, like, if you just Google child themes WordPress, like, that's pretty simple, a Google search, and it basically is going to show you the child themes with inside the WordPress codec. So it's going to give you some pointers and some things in here. And I think it basically, I mean, this is kind of a really basic way. It's just showing that you need two functions inside the child theme. And then here are some of the examples. What I highly recommend doing within, like, just kind of learn and understanding is start with one of the main themes, you know, 2015, 2014, 2013, and kind of go through this. This one is kind of set up for, it looks like 2015. It's a 2015 example. Kind of go through this and just really kind of understand each piece of the puzzle and kind of understand how that is set up. From that point, then you can start really understanding, like, I think it kind of goes through a pretty good example of, let's see what else is down here. I guess there's some examples here. Then there's the resources down here at the bottom, how to modify WordPress themes the smart way, how to make your own style or their own child theme, how to create child themes. Like, there's a lot of different ways that there's a lot of different links here. Again, too, in our search results, we saw quite a few different ways. Now, I don't know if there's definitely a best practice. I know that if you look at the child themes within some of the different companies, I know that, like, Woo Themes has a bunch of child themes that sit on top of Canvas. I know that iThemes have some child themes that go on top of Builder. Like, it's interesting to see how they program them, but I don't think there's any, like, necessarily this is the way that it has to be done. Just yeah, there's so many different examples, and I know that I have there's a webinar replay about how to create a child theme. I don't say that I necessarily have done it the right way 100% of the time, but I strive to do my best at, you know, following the standards of other reputable WordPress people, and so I try to do my best job there. So let's see what other questions are there. Deb says, a suggestion, it might be good to have your webinar registration underneath your webinar heading along with the replays. It was hard to find the register link when I was trying to tell my WordPress buddies about it. Yes, Deb, that's an excellent suggestion. I do a horrible job recommending about my webinars. I know in the past that I've done it's a good idea to put one here on this page. That would be a really good idea. I know that in the past I've had a little pop-up that comes on this page alone, or maybe pops up here from the bottom corner. I've done that before on the webinar replays page. I feel like I'm always under the gun to get everything ready in order to get the webinar done and launched. And as you can see, there's a bug on this page that's showing, like, a blank two sections here. There's some spacing issues that I'm still working with, but it's a good way. Like, I know that I don't capture nearly as many people as I could because I'm not doing a good job promoting my webinars, but that's something that I'm working on in the future for sure. That's a great suggestion. Thanks, Deb. So if there's any other questions, just let me know. If not, we can wrap this thing up. But the overarching general comments, the PHP, just be careful with it. You have to open PHP. You have to close PHP. You have to use semicolons. And it looks like WordPress hasn't broken itself. Like, it does a good job of, like, not breaking itself so that you can... you could live edit if you wanted to. I highly recommend against that, just because if things could happen and you don't want that to happen and break your site or whatever. And always, always, always do something locally. Don't do it on your live site, especially if you're brand new to PHP and you're just experimenting, because it is tricky. There are some really crazy things that could go wrong that you don't want to happen on your website, you know, right when you're going live. Like the thing that hurts me the most is, like, or what always would get me is, like, oh, I'm going to stop work at 4 and I'm going to do this. Well, then I make some sort of change, like, right on a live site, right at, like, 3:30. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this done right before 4. And then it breaks something. And then you spend hours trying to figure it out. And you're like, I can't eat dinner because this client's website's down or my website's down. I'm losing traffic and all these different things because it's just like, Do it locally. Do it in some way, shape, or form where it's not going to affect it. If you set up a, even if you don't do it locally, if you do it on another development server or something, go ahead and do that. Set up the best practices so that you're used to, if you break something, like you can stop. Like one of the best things with PHP is a lot of times, like you'll just sit there and you'll scratch your head and you're like, why isn't this working? And then it may be like one of the great examples is like sometimes when you are in, let's go back over here. Sometimes if you, there's different commands to do different things. That makes sense, obviously. But you know, there's a function called get the post or get the content like this. And there is one called the content. And you would think like they would do the same thing, but of course they're different functions, so they do different things. And so like the one of them, if you use get the content, that's like bringing it and storing it, but this the underscore content will actually display the content. So I think if you actually would echo the content, if you can do this, this doesn't make really any sense because like that's not how it would work, but you could take that information, somehow echo it. Like there's different commands. And so that's one thing to think about. If you are running into an issue, like why doesn't it work? You may be using the wrong command, and it's best when you walk away for a while, like just take a few steps away. Like some of the best things that have come to my memory, like in a way to help somebody on their website, especially when I've been doing Woo themes tickets lately. I've done a new rotation within Automattic. I'm doing Woo tickets. And so like a work on, I'm like, I don't understand. And so I just say, okay, I'm done for right now, and get up and walk away. And when you walk away and you come back, you're like, whoa, I got it. And so that's one thing to do. As long as you're not developing on your live main website, you have that ability to walk away. You're not losing sales. You're not losing customers. You're not losing leads. Like it's perfectly okay to walk away from a development site, even if it's broken. So that's one of the big key takeaways as well. Yeah, Eric asks if there is a way that we can get the page that I was referencing for the snippets. And yeah, that's this one. And that will be included with the webinar replay stuff. You'll get all of this. Again, this isn't all of the, it's not anywhere close to all the functions, but these are some of the really ones that you use quite a bit. Like if you pull in any, if you use PHP, get underscore header, that's going to pull in all the contents from the header.php file and sidebar and footer page. If you wanted to have the title or the permalink or the category, like all that stuff's here. There's a lot of good content here, but this is just kind of like the beginner's guide. Like get started using these, and then you'll start, like there's probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of functions built into WordPress that I've never used before, just because I don't know that they're there. And so that's another thing. Like you just kind of use the ones you know, and then you're like, I wonder if, and then you just kind of do a little Googling and try to figure out, and you're like, oh, there is a way to do that. So that's what I do. And that's how you learn how some of these new functions work. I was actually at a WordPress or WordCamp session one time, and it was like 10 or 15 of the most unusual functions that you may not know of that exist in WordPress. And that was really eye-opening. Like, wow, you can do all of these things within WordPress. I thought that was pretty cool. Marianne says, sometimes I take a screenshot before I make a quick change in case I break something. Yep, that's always a good idea. Sometimes I used to just copy the whole thing. I would copy the entire text for the entire whatever file I was working on and paste that into a text editor and just kind of let that sit over to the side in case something happened or anything that it would work that way. So let's see. There is a link there for Kevin has got the link there for the WordPress commands. Yeah, it's out there somewhere. I've probably uploaded it to different things before. So you can go ahead and find that there. The URL that you see there may or may not be live right here, but I will make sure that it's included with the replay for this event. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap up. Thanks so much for tuning in and spending a little bit of time today on your Friday or Saturday morning, depending on where you are in the world, and spending a little bit of time with me just learning PHP and learning just a little bit. Again, it scratches the surface. There's so much you can learn about PHP. I mean, I thought about going into like how to do arrays and variables and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's really not, like, a lot of times it's not necessary unless you're doing like high detailed programming or you're building a plugin or a theme or stuff. And if you were doing those types of things, then you would need a better lesson than just kind of this beginner PHP 101 type thing. So Adam asked if I'm going to WordCamp US. That is a negative this year. It's actually the same weekend as my wife's birthday. And we are going to New Orleans for a conference, a pharmacy conference that weekend. So I'm not going to WordCamp US. So if you're not into the WordPress space, WordCamp US will be happening the 4th and 5th, 6th area of December, and it is in Philadelphia. So if you are in that side of the world, I'd highly recommend going, checking it out, and it's going to be a great, great event. So that is, that's going to wrap up this webinar for October. And I'm thinking about next month's webinar, I may do something with the Sensei plugin. It's an e-commerce or an e-learning platform within WooCommerce or WooThemes. I'm getting all the names mixed up, all the Woos just kind of run together. But I think that may be what I'm going with next, because I am learning so much about this plugin to make an online learning environment for your fans, and your, maybe you have a product that you sell, some sort of course or whatnot. So I think that may be where I go next. We'll see, absolutely, for sure. But that's what I'm thinking for now. So with that, take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your time. We're getting to the fall season here in Ohio, and it's starting to get a little bit chilly, but it is much nicer than those hot, humid days that we had in the middle of the summer. So that's all I've got for you this week or in this month, and we'll talk again next month. Take care. Bye-bye.